sharing her either.
Okay.
I want to take just a couple moments and just share with you tonight. It'll be more than a couple moments, but I want to share something with you that I've really, really wrestled this afternoon. I come to camp and I do my homework. I always didn't like when preachers would get up and say, well, God just laid on my heart 5 minutes ago. And I know God does that sometimes, okay? That's our tradition. But if he does that all the time, we got a problem. Okay? So I like to spend hours and hours in study and preparation. And I have on this, but I didn't plan to preach this sermon. And it's a more difficult one. So I want you just to listen to me. And I'll try not to be too long-winded, okay? But let me give you some things first of all. And I'm going to throw a lot of scriptures at you. I'm not going to just read one scripture. So if you're taking some notes, I'll give you the passages so you can follow. I want you to listen to me. And every once in a while, we need a test or a checkup, I call it, to help us understand what's really going on. Did you know as Christians we live a pretty secluded life? We do. I served on the State Board of Education for Ohio when I was there as president. And then when I moved to South Carolina, I met the governor and I was appointed to the Higher Ed Board of Education. Both of those are public boards, so if you think of the University of South Carolina or you think of Clemson University, those schools are under our board. There were 14 of us, and I was one that would sit on that board. And the fragileness of society and the horror of the evil of society hits you right in the face if you're not used to sitting on those kinds of boards. I was also asked by our Secretary of State if I would serve on a pornographic commission. And let me just say to you, our world's in bad, bad, bad shape, my friends. You say, well, Dr. Smith, why would you take time to talk to us about this? Well, here's why, okay? And I was blown away. Three-fourths of students in one city, county, said they had tried meth. Three-fourths, in fact, 77%. .9% regularly smoke pot. In fact, pot's no longer a crime in a lot of places. If you just want to feel good, go get it. Right? Two-thirds of ninth graders say they have tried alcohol and by the ninth grade. By the time they're 14 years old, they drink alcohol. I'm getting a little roar, guys, just a little bit of roar back, okay? I just want to make sure you can hear it, okay? 75% of students ages 18 to 25 say that they've had casual sex. You don't save to marriage. You just go out and do what feels good. .70% of that generation also says the best way to handle your problems is go out and fight about it. Guys, we are moving to a very, very anarchist society. If you don't believe it, go sit on a couple of boards like I do. 52% of eighth graders now say they use alcohol regularly. And you say, Dr. Smith, why do you care? It's because many of those become alcoholics. The stats. This is Pew Research. This isn't Mark Smith made up stuff. The stats show that many of those become alcoholics. They lose control of their lives. For the first time in our society, listen to this one, folks. I'm okay now. First time in society, 52% of teenagers see nothing wrong with homosexual relationships. Could I scream? Could I wake you up? 52% say there's nothing wrong with homosexual relationships. We sometimes sit in our churches and meet with our families, and I made, by the God's grace, I made myself get out into the fray. And it's a mess. It scares me to death. And let me just go just one little step further. I served on the school board, and I took a stand on the school board against a certain establishment moving into our community. And I had to have police protection 24/7 at my home because these people do not play around anymore. An angry, mad society. Could I just read something to you for a minute? Let me read something. Luke 21:8 says, "Watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in the last days using my name and saying, 'I am he.' But it's not Christ. The time is near. Be alert. Be awake. Wake up." 1 Corinthians 5:11. "I'm writing to you." Now, this is not Dr. Smith or Mark Smith or anybody else. This is the Bible. So I want you to hear. It's the authority, okay? "I'm writing to you that you must not associate with those who are sexually immoral, desire money, are idolaters, are drunkards, or those who steal, are swindlers." Be careful. Don't hang out with those people. They will destroy you. 1 Corinthians 3:16. "Know you not that you are the temple of God?" Somebody made you. God made you. You're bought with a price. You're special. Now, I want to stop just a second, and I want everyone to look here just for one moment. Just look at me for one moment. When I was a boy growing up, there were days that I didn't feel very special. I was raised in the poor South. My mom and dad, it was not their fault, but due to a lot of reasons, I didn't feel like I was worth anything. But one of the greatest things that's happened to me in my life is God taught me that I am His. I'm special. And some of you right here already think that. And it's not just the young people. There's some older ones as well that think you are not special. But God made you. And nobody can take your place. You're special to God. to those of us in the faith, we love you. I can say that as a brother in Christ, not meant wrongly in any desire or any way. I love you, and I want you to make it to heaven. So the Lord gave us something that every one of you, every single one of you here, has something that God used in my life. And so I'm going to talk to you about that tonight. And that's called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Anybody ever heard of the Holy Spirit? Now, a lot of people, when you say Spirit or the Holy Ghost, immediately, in today's connotation, it's a negative meaning. But I can tell you, in biblical times, it was not negative. The Holy Spirit was here to be a comforter. The Holy Spirit was here to be by your side. The Holy Spirit was here to guide you into truth. And the moment that you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart to live. Aren't we glad for that? And the Holy Spirit is the one that begins to talk to you. You say, even as a young person, yes, let me tell you a story. I went on vacation in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, the Smoky Mountains. Anybody ever been there? That's a fun place to go. I know there's so many great things. I brought my family out west, and there's so many great things to see. But if you've not been to Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge, moms and dads, go sometime and take your kids. It's absolutely beautiful, and it's made for kids. It really is. Everything you want to ride, do. Now, work 7 years before you go so you can pay for all the rides. No greater truth ever spoken, right? But I'm serious. My dad, one of the things I respect so much about him is my dad, as I told you, we just lived on minimum wage. We didn't have very much when we were young. But my dad somehow would save up enough money for us to go 2 days to the Smoky Mountains and one night in a hotel. And I loved it. And my wife and I, we've been married 38 years on August 2nd, we have been 37 years of the 38 to the Smoky Mountains. And when I get back home, I'm taking my wife on August 2nd, it's our anniversary, 38. We're going right back to those Smoky Mountains. That's where we honeymooned. So I tell her, I said, we're just going to do our honeymoon again. 38 years, man, it's better than it was when we were 1 year in, you know? Great, great. And so it's great, great to have those things to look forward to. But let me tell you about the Smoky Mountains. I was about 9, 10 years old. Anybody here 9, 10, 11, 12, right in those areas? And I walked into a store, and I picked up a pair of toy sunglasses. And I broke them. I didn't mean to. And so I just put them back on the shelf. Because that's what I should do, right? No. Well, I got home, and we started having a time of prayer one night, and the Holy Spirit, that's what we're talking about, touched my little 10-year-old heart, 11-year-old, whatever it was, and I started crying. And I told my dad and mom, you know what I did? I picked up a pair of sunglasses, and I broke it. And I put it back on the shelf. And I need to tell someone about that. And so my mom and dad helped me make that right. Now here's what's happening. I'm a young little boy, but now I'm 58. That was like 50 years ago. But I remember, and I could tell you time after time over the 50 years, that God said, go back and take care of that. Fix that. Live right. You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit speaking to me. I'm 58. Today in my room, the Holy Spirit spoke to me about something and said, be careful, Mark. Be careful. Now, I could run from that and be scared, but I wasn't. I embraced it and said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to me. And so you as young people, when you begin to sense something or someone speaking to you, that's the Holy Spirit. You as older ones, I've sat in a church with a 70-some-year-old man who for 40 years said no, 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 no to the Holy Spirit. And I walked up to him as I was trying to reach him for Christ. I knew he was not living right. And I walked up to him and I said, Granddad, it was my granddaddy, would you give your heart to Jesus? No. But you're crying, Granddad. The Holy Spirit's speaking, Mark. The Holy Spirit don't speak to me anymore. I've told him no too many times. No, Granddad, you're sitting back here weeping. Why are you weeping? The Holy Spirit's touching your heart. And I drove back 19 hours when my granddad had a stroke. And I drove almost all, I drove all night to try to get there from where I was living in Oklahoma, and was able to go into my granddad's room, and he had been unconscious or semi-conscious, and was able to talk to him. And I said, Granddad, will you please tell me that you prayed and asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins? Couldn't get any response. Came back 2 or 3 hours later, and I went in and said, Granddad, this is your grandson, Mark, your preacher boy. Did you give your heart to Jesus? Give me some sign. I prayed for you for years. Did you? And I watched my granddad in that state of mind, tears begin to flow out of his eyes. And I said, Granddad, just squeeze my hand 3 times if you did. And just as much as I'm talking to you, he squeezed my hands. I believe I'm going to see my granddad in heaven. I didn't get to talk to him again. But I believe the Holy Spirit was so faithful to him to give my granddad a chance. But you know what I love tonight? Is the Holy Spirit right now is here. And you have the opportunity, and you don't have to wait to a time when you're in the hospital and something happens. The Holy Spirit is here. So let's look just for a couple minutes at the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? First of all, the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. Convicts of sin. And when he has come, John 16:8, for those who are writing down, he will convict the world of sin. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Convicting of sin. All of us understand, even the youngest ones in here would understand when they do something wrong. They can feel that displeasure. They can feel that check. And when you're older and you feel it, you know the Holy Spirit is speaking, convicting you to live right. So first, the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. Secondly, the Holy Spirit, as you respond to his convicting you of sin and you say, oh, I'm sorry for my sins. I want to go forward. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Guess what he does? He gives new life to you. The Holy Spirit does that. He gives new life. The Bible says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2:1. Our spirit within us, made in the image of God. See, we're made in the image of God. And the Holy Spirit comes within and takes that deadness and makes us new. It's not something you can do. It's something only the Holy Spirit can do for you. He gives you new life. I've always liked Titus 3:5. But according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for newness of life. Thirdly, he indwells within us. His Spirit is within us. This allows you to know how to live right. When you're in school and you see somebody's got something that you want, you don't take it because the Holy Spirit speaks and says, that's not yours. You don't do that. And you know what? Let me say something to you. When you start practicing right now as young people, when you start practicing now, not doing and overriding the Holy Spirit, not taking things when he checks, you're going to find out in life, you're going to go through your whole life, and you're going to have opportunity to take things. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Let me say something to you. As a president, do you think I had opportunity to take things? I was in charge. I saw a board twice a year. But oh no, not going to do that because the Holy Spirit would check me and say, be careful, don't. And I wasn't trying to be disobedient. But there's so many areas you have to have the Holy Spirit just saying, be careful, stop, let me check you, let me guide you. And students, young people, older alike, we need the Holy Spirit to indwell us. This is the reason we don't take unclean things into our bodies. I can promise you that the Holy Spirit will check you if you take something unclean into your body. And I'm going to stop and just get a little closer. Some of you guys aren't there yet, but some of you are. One of the things that men really have to fight in this day is pornography. What do you mean, Dr. Smith? I know of preachers involved in pornography. I'm working with them or have helped them. I know of board members who are involved in pornography. I know of new Christians who are involved in pornography. I know of women who are involved now and trapped in pornography. In fact, if you understand biologically and psychologically, they tell us now that the entire body functions are changing because we've got pornography around, and now what used to be male isn't as much male, and then what was female isn't as much female. They're saying now that we have become addicted to a society of evil. Read about it. Study it. I have. I'm not just making a statement. There are more women right now involved in pornography than ever before. It's attractive. You just click. You just take out the phone. Nobody will know. Let me tell you something. I am a man that fought battles with lust as a young man. And every young man does, if you're honest. Okay? God can do a work in your life. But I know 100% sure that God can cleanse you. God can fill you so much till you can be purified. And not one time on this trip have I even been tempted to take my phone and look at something inappropriate. Because I made a pattern in my life the last 40 years. No, I will not. No, I will not. No, I will not. Saying to my wife, ask me every day. No, I will not. No, I will not. No, I will not. That's for you. Now, let me say something to you. I'm not preaching to those cows that I drove by today. I'm right in the house. That's going to cost some of you your souls if you don't get it taken care of. And who takes care of it? It's going to take the Holy Spirit. No. No. If you can't go in a room by yourself with your phone, then leave your phone in another room. If you can't have an iPad like I do, then leave it. My wife could see anything, anytime on my phone. My boys can. I, as a dad, absolutely will not let my boys down. I will not, with God's help and grace. I can't do it, but God can. Dr. Smith, you been looking at anything? No, I have not. I have not, because the Holy Spirit fills me. And see, when He fills me, there's no room for filth. And I'm going to go just a little further where I shouldn't be meddling, but I'm going to say it. Husbands and wives, some of you all need to work on your relationships, and the man won't have as many battles. Don't say amen to that, any man, please. Okay? We'll be having an altar call to fix a marriage. But if you understand the Bible is clear and addresses these issues. When I married my wife, she and I loved each other and became one. And do you know what? I don't ever force myself on her. I love her. I respect her. I want her to be pleased. I want her to understand. And young people, I'm going to say something to you now. When you sense that young man trying to be inappropriate or touch you, young lady, you slap the fire out of him. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Moms and dads, amen? Amen? Because if you start giving in, let me tell you what will happen. It'll be one thing leading to another. And young men, let me talk to you. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Now, let me help you understand this for a second. I was young and I was a teenager. And I loved my wife. And I loved dating my wife. We made a vow that with God's help, we would be pure when we got married. And if you think people can't be, my wife and I were. Can you believe that? Dr. Smith, you mean you're 58 and you're saying that you've only had one woman in your life? Absolutely, and it's beautiful because God is at the center. Let me go a little step farther. Some of you have been through heartache, and some of you have been through divorce, and some of you are damaged, and I understand those things too that happen in life. But I want you right now, when the Holy Spirit starts speaking to you, to obey. And within that marriage, start protecting it. Within what God has given you, you be His. Amen? Everything He asks you to do. I'm not preaching a message on divorce and remarriage and all that. I'm not into that. What I'm preaching on is, I want you to learn to live a pure, holy life. And it will not happen unless the Holy Spirit is there to check you in your life. I'm going to conclude here just in a moment. I want you to know this about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can fill you. The Holy Spirit can so possess you. I love now just having the Holy Spirit speak to me. It happened this afternoon. I wasn't planning to preach this message. I brought one, but I didn't plan. And I just sensed the Holy Spirit saying, there, go there, go there. And I'm like, Lord, but I, for 2 or 3 hours, I guess I argued with the Lord. I didn't argue. I just didn't want to. But I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. And so it's tonight I sense His presence. Even though it's not the easiest message to preach, I sense Him as He's guiding me. So here's what I want you to understand about the Holy Spirit on your part. Number one, you can disobey the Holy Spirit. Acts 7:51. I'm just going to give you the scriptures. You can look them up. Number two, you can grieve or anger the Holy Spirit. Mark 3:29. Whosoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, they are guilty of an eternal sin. You can lie against the Holy Spirit. Did you know in the Bible that there was a man named Ananias and Sapphira? What happened to them? They lied to the Holy Spirit. And what happened? They were struck dead. Don't go there and lie. Is that a scary thing, Dr. Smith? I'm just giving you scripture. It happened. Be careful. The Holy Spirit can be blasphemed. Mark 12:32, anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but don't speak against the Holy Spirit. You will not be forgiven. Now, I'm not worried about any of you doing that, okay? And as sometimes when people have cried out and said things they didn't even know what they were saying. It takes a lot. It takes a lot to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I've learned that. And I've dealt with one or two who feel they have, and their lives have been a mess. But here's the one I'm most concerned about. The Holy Spirit can be resisted. And Acts 7:51 says, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You're just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. I've given you just a very biblical message on the Holy Spirit. And I could have taken and taught several lessons on this. Let me conclude. Say, Dr. Smith, why are you telling us this? Why are you telling us this? I'm going to tell you two stories. One man, I walked in to see him, and they farmed a few thousand acres. No extra added in there at all. Thousands of acres. I would go see his father, and his father loved me. I'd ride around the tractor with him. I'd ride around his truck with him. I'm an old farm boy. Had about 100 head of Black Angus cattle. I loved it. I'd go see him. One day, the dad said to me, he said, will you go see my son? He said, he's 40-some years old, and he's dying of cancer. And I said, sure. And so I went to see his son. I went and knocked on the door. He yelled, who is it? He wouldn't come to the door. I told him who I was. Get out of here. I'm dying. When someone asks me as a minister to go do something like that, and I know they're in a serious situation, I'm going to do everything I can to save their souls, take them to Jesus. And so I went to see him several times. One day I knew what he would do. If he opened the door, he'd shut it. So I caught him one day as he was starting to shut it and just stuck my foot right in the door. And he was too weak. I was stronger than him at the time, and I just held my foot there. And I said to him, I said, sir, I just want to say to you, the reason I've been coming is because your dad's concerned about you, and he loves you. And your dad wants you to go to heaven. I ain't going to heaven. I hate God. Look what he's done to me. I do spray chemicals in all these fields, and then I get cancer. Things I love to do, he's destroyed, and on, just let me cursing and everything. I said, well, I just want you to know God loves you. And so I would go back, and I'd go back, and I'd go back. I never, ever got to finish with that man. Until one day, I got a call from somebody that I knew in the church. And they said, did you hear so-and-so died? And I had been several times. The Holy Spirit was faithful. But this man said, I'd rather go to hell. A hell here on earth with what he lived through with his cancer, and a hell for eternity unless God got to him somehow. and I pray that he did. I met another man. He was in a motorcycle gang. I'll be honest with you, I was scared. I met with him, somebody introduced me to him, said, would you take him out to breakfast? I said, sure. So I went out to breakfast with Dennis, and we sat down just a little while and started talking. He said, preacher, I've never needed God. I'm in a motorcycle gang. He named it motorcycle gang, and I knew it was legit. He said, I've killed people. I've done drugs. I've stolen. Anything you can name, I've done it. I've raped women. You just name it. I've done it. And I looked at Dennis and I said, Dennis, none of that is too much for God. I was young, but I wanted him to know about Jesus. And so I kept going and meeting him. We always met at a little pancake house. So one morning I walked in. I said, Dennis, I said, I want you to come to church with me. He said, really? I said, yeah, I want you to come to church with me. So on Sunday morning, I went to church, and here's Dennis and his wife. They're in church. They surprised me. And the altar call's given, and here comes Dennis and his wife. And they come right up, and they want Jesus to forgive them of their sins. You see, when the Holy Spirit spoke to him, even though all he had done and there was a lot he had to fix, God was there for him. I was watching Dennis and meeting with Dennis, and one day he walked in and he said, you're not going to believe this, preacher. I said, what's that? He said, I think God's calling me to preach. Next thing I know, Dennis is called to preach. See, the responses, one said, I'd rather go to hell. God's mean to me. Dennis and his wife said, we've been bad, awful people. But God's saying, my arms are open for both of you. Come, come, come. Would you slip to the piano again tonight? And I want us just to stand. I came out here to do God's work. And I know you don't give altar calls all the time, but I just felt this afternoon I needed to again. And so I don't know who's here. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know anything about you, really. I'm getting to know you. But I'd like for you to come right to these front pews again and just pray if God's spoken to you. And here's the way this preacher likes to do it. I don't like to wait. I just want you to come because it's just us. And you know if God's speaking to you and God's saying, I want you to come tonight. And I want you to come. Is there anyone? I'm going to pray just like I did last time. And we're going to ask God to meet your need. Father, tonight, your Spirit's already been here. When Pastor was up front and talking, I sensed your Spirit settling in among us. I thank you for that. I think that your Holy Spirit's spoken to me through the afternoon. And I don't know what situations are here, but I know your Holy Spirit's faithful. And your Holy Spirit's wooing. And your Holy Spirit's reaching. And your Holy Spirit's calling. And your Holy Spirit is saying, come. We already had some come. 4 or 5 already. How about you tonight? Has God spoken to you? Just come right here and kneel, okay? While he plays, would you just come out and pray? God spoken to you tonight? Anyone? Anyone else? Thank you all for being so obedient. I love it. I love my guys over here. They just keep plowing in. I love it. Come on. Come on. Anybody else God speaking to you? Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Thank the Lord. How about you? This is not for me. This is for God and the Holy Spirit. You're getting your life right. Oh, thank God you're getting your life right. New creations in Christ Jesus. Anybody else want to come? Want to come and pray? Come here with me. Help. I want you to pray for me. While these others are coming, I want you to pray for this group. Thank you.
God, we're so thankful that you're a God who speaks and a God who convicts and a God who knows us personally and sees everything. God, we know that nothing can be hidden from your sight. God, we know that this is a grave thing and it's also a welcome thing. And so, God, we just pray that as you move tonight, God, that hearts would surrender. God, that we wouldn't harden our hearts. God, that your church would respond. God, that the people here who maybe have never, ever experienced relationship with you would respond, that they would lay aside any shame and any distraction around them that maybe the enemy is trying to put in their mind right now. You can't go forward. Don't commit to that. And God, right now, that you would allow them to make a commitment. God, to just walk forward. God, you're a good Father. God, you see everything. And for your people here who maybe one time knew you and have drifted away and have delved into sin and now they feel like they can't come back, you're standing there with arms wide open, convicting, pleading, knocking on the door, saying, come. Stop fighting. Stop running. Stop hiding your sin. Lay it all at my feet. I paid the price. God, we're so thankful for Dr. Smith and the truth that he shared tonight. We're thankful for the truth of your word. We're thankful for the ability to find a baseline in this crooked and corrupted generation and to be able to hear what truth is that speaks directly to our hearts and weeds its way through the distractions of the day and through the distractions of the enemy and gets right to the heart of the issue. And God, we were able to hear that tonight. God, would you help us to see the benefit of knowing truth and knowing that this truth can set us free? God, there's many people in this room tonight that I know you want to set free. God, would you just continue this work? God, even tonight, if they're afraid, if they don't want to come forward, God, I just ask you to just keep convicting, keep speaking. God, don't give up on us. There's so many times in my life where I was so afraid you were going to give up. God, I'm thankful that you're a God who just doesn't give up. God, I'm thankful that you're a God who has a church that continues to pray and continues to intercede and continues to see the people around us, God, who are struggling with sin and lost and feel broken. And God, I just pray that you would convict those who are with you and in relationship with you. Lay a burden of prayer, God, on this group. God, that we would see those around us who need you, and God, that we would begin to pray. God, that your hand would move, and God, that you would just pour out in this place, this camp, we pray.
Could I just ask you quickly, one more time, I just feel in my spirit, is there anyone who needs to move? One more. I don't tend to do this. Thank you. This young man was there, and I knew the Holy Spirit was speaking to him. I'm so glad he responded. Thank you, young man. Thank you. Is there anyone else? The Holy Spirit's here. Thank God. Thank God for that. Could I be so bold to ask one more question? Is there an older person here that has resisted God speaking to you? Anyone? You just want to come and pray? We want to be here for you and pray for you. Pastor, I'll turn it to you.
Well, God's helped us again tonight. So there's several people up here praying. I'd like to ask as many of you as can and are able to come up and help us to pray. feel comfortable doing that. Don't want to force anybody to do something you don't feel comfortable doing, but I think it'd be great if you'd come up here and find somebody that you can kneel down beside them and maybe join them in prayer and encourage them in prayer. That would be a tremendous blessing. That little bit of encouragement, that little bit of prayer that you add, that effort there can be a game changer. If you're not planning on coming to the front, feel free to stand or sit where you are and join us in prayer. Either way, it's fine. But let's be mindful of the presence of the Holy Spirit. We're not quite dismissed from the service yet, so just please keep that in mind. Let's pray together. God's speaking to several people this morning or this evening, so let's pray with them. Let's pray that God'll help them to pray through on whatever He's spoken to them about. Father, You are a good and beautiful God. You are a faithful God. You are a steadfast God, an unchangeable God, a loving God, a kind God, but also holy and just and righteous in all Your ways, strong and mighty, wise and understanding. And we are humbled to be in Your presence here tonight, God. We count it a tremendous privilege that Your special presence would come down and dwell among us in this place, this moment, among us, Your people. We have been intentional, God, in setting aside a time and a place, investing financially and investing time-wise and energy-wise into this because we count it of great value that You would meet with us in this place and that You would speak to hearts in ways that often can only happen in a situation like this. And so thank You, Lord, for once again doing that, being faithful and drawing near. Now, Lord, You've spoken to the hearts of a number of people here this evening. It looks like mostly young folk, which is a wonderful thing because often that question of destiny, will I serve God or not, is settled at a young age. And so, Lord, we thank You for speaking to their hearts and minds. And now, Lord, we pray that You would extend to them the grace that they need to make a full and complete commitment to You. If it's a matter of confession, God, we pray that You help them to confess wholeheartedly before the holy God, the almighty God, but the loving God of all creation. The One who died on the cross for them, that they may be forgiven of their sins, but also washed clean from their sins. The One whom in the Holy Spirit is able to make them alive again. We pray, God, that You would help them as they seek to confess and to repent, make a conscious choice to turn away from the sin in their life, the sinful behaviors of their life, and embrace being obedient to You. You have said, Lord, those that love You are obedient. They obey. It's a simple matter. And so, Lord, we pray that You extend them that grace. For those, Lord, that are seeking healing tonight, brokenness, hurt, pain, maybe anger or anxiety, or maybe they're struggling, as Dr. Smith was talking about, in areas of lust or those sorts of besetting sins, God, we pray that You would bring healing into their life, that You would wash and cleanse them and give them a fresh, clean slate. Help them to build consistent boundaries based on their love for You, that they would choose to love You more than to seek these lusts and desires. Only You can bring healing in these deep areas of our lives, God. These hurts that are so hidden that not only do others not understand them about us, but we barely understand them about ourselves, but often dictate our thought processes and our behavior patterns. And so, Lord, we pray that you would bring healing in the lives that need that healing tonight. Now, Lord, you have been merciful again. You've been kind again. And we thank you for it. So we praise your holy name. And we say to you, be all the glory and all the honor and all the praise forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for seeking the Lord. Good response. Good response. The right response. If you're feeling like you need to continue to pray, there's no need to get up and move. You're welcome to stay right where you are and continue to seek the Lord. We'll keep praying with you. Amen. Good. I like to see when people are responding to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. That'll make all the difference in the world. Yeah, make all the difference in the world. Terry, do you have a chorus? All right, sure. Let's do it.
Spirit of the living God.
Let's stand up.
Fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me.
Sing it from your heart.
Melt me more.
Do you really mean that? Letting him have full control? Still praying, and so I'm going to ask for you to be discreet. If you'd like to stay and help him and his family to pray, please do so. Appreciate that prayer support. But if you feel like it's time for you to leave, I know some have small children and so forth, would you please do so respectfully? And we'll see you at the snack shack a little bit later on. God bless you. Thank you for being obedient to the Holy Spirit tonight.